Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We're into the book of Revelation. Revelation 13:1. And the dragon stood on sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 crowns, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, dunamis, and his throne, and great authority. We have quickly recognized this beast from the book of Daniel. And this beast has as its parts the empires, the Gentile empires that tread down Jerusalem in the times of the Gentiles. When Jesus' disciples ask him, "What is the sign of your setting up your kingdom?" He told them in Luke, and we've gone over it in detail this week, that it would be at the end of the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles is a measurable period, and the only way we see it in its fullness and its beginnings and its end is in the prophets, the writing of the prophet Daniel. And so we're going now today to Daniel chapter 1, and we'll see what has happened here in the to the nation of Israel after the rebellion of the nations. We went into that yesterday and found out who the Gentiles were. Then God brought Abraham, and he separated a holy nation unto himself. That holy nation reached its apex in Jerusalem under King David. And then King Solomon built the temple. And after King Solomon, of course, there's an enemy of God. There is an adversary. His name is Satan. Satan is a Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word means adversary. There is an adversary to God's plans. And of course, God's plan was to bring through this separated nation, to reveal himself to the earth through that separated nation. We have the Bible through the hands of the Jews. The Messiah after the flesh came from the Jewish nation. But at this time, Satan was particularly fighting that nation and particularly fighting them so that God's word about them wouldn't come true. And of course, he did not want Messiah to be born. And so he tempted them. He tempted them into idol worship. He tempted their leaders. The priests had become wicked. God sent prophets. He sent prophet Isaiah, prophet Jeremiah to tell them, if you don't, God's going to use you to show himself to the nations, but he'll have to do it by scattering you and bringing you back if you don't turn to him now, if you don't repent and return to him now. Well, we know that after Solomon died, his two sons split the kingdom. They were split into the northern kingdom, 10 tribes, and the southern kingdom, 2 tribes. Southern kingdom called Judea. The northern kingdom became so idolatrous that it fell to the Assyrians in 722 BC. Then Judea, the southern kingdom, which was the tribe of Judah and Benjamin and the Levites among them, Judea was trapped between two superpowers who in competition fought for domination of the civilized world. So here's the little land bridge of Israel, Judea at that time. And to the south, they have the superpower of Egypt. And to the north, they have the superpower of Babylon. A year after he became king of Babylon and the north prevailed, Nebuchadnezzar swept across Judea and took subject its king, Jehoiakim. He demanded that Jehoiakim pay him tribute. After 3 years of vassalage and doing that, Jehoiakim revolted. And Nebuchadnezzar, "I'm not paying anymore." And Nebuchadnezzar's army came and put down the rebellion and strengthened its control of the land of Israel. In 3327 or 596 BC, well, no, it was before that. In 3327, I haven't looked up to see what year that was, BC, the conquering king, Nebuchadnezzar, took with him many vessels from the temple. And he also took with him 10,000 of its best people as well. He asked that they get the brightest young men. By taking away its best and brightest, he assured himself that they could not rebel again, He would crush their morale. He would use the brain power of the Jews. He would denude the Jews of leadership. And he would take that wonderful wisdom of Jews for his own use. Just this past week, a Jew won, shared the Nobel Prize with another man for discovering that within the very cellular structure of man, there is a receptacle like that of the eye that receives light. Oh my, I just started thinking about that. My cells, I'm telling my cells of my body to receive that light. God is light. And to respond to it by being well and all the things God has said about me. But just beside that, just thinking about the Nobel Prize, the Jews constitute 0.2. That's 0.2% of the world's population. And they have collected 22% of the Nobel Prizes. And most often they're prizes for something like chemistry, like it was this time, and other things. So they have a great deal of wisdom. And we, too, can have that wisdom, because when we're born again, we're born from above, we have the Zoe life of God in us. So I would like to suggest to you that you look at Brother Kenneth E. Hagin's Faith Food, and there you will find in it lessons about what the three Hebrew children said and how Brother Hagin said those things, and that when you get the life of God in you, and Brother Hagin gives a story of a girl that was just had the mind of a 12-year-old and became a great businesswoman. After she discovered she got born again and had the Zoe life of God in her, and then how she developed and trained herself and became so wise. Also, Brother Hagin did it. He had not been able to go to school for years and years, made bad grades, and when he went back to school, he said what the three Hebrew children said about him, what God said about them, how God made them 10 times smarter. And then he said, I have the life of God in me, and he's making me 10 times smarter. So having God, of course, choose you, and having God, the three Hebrew children, Daniel, they were captured. This was before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. He captured what the Bible calls the seed royal. Now that means that these seed royal, Daniel, the three Hebrew children, they had been living in the palace. And in the palace, the prophets of those days, Jeremiah, Isaiah, they gave their prophecies at the temple, around the temple area, or the palace area. So being the seed royal, Daniel and the three Hebrew children had heard from what God's will was. The three Hebrew children, when they came in, they gave them all Babylonian names. Daniel, they called him Belteshazzar. This is in Daniel 1:7. They gave to the others, there was Hananiah, Hebrew name, they gave him Shadrach. Mishael, Hebrew name, they gave him Meshach. And to Azariah, Hebrew name, they called him Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know why, but in our minds, maybe it's just the way you say them. We always call them that, but we never ever, the Belteshazzar name did not stick on Daniel. Bel is the name of a Babylonian god, and probably the king Nebuchadnezzar thought he was giving him a good name. But Daniel, verse 8, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat and with the wine which he drank. He kept God's laws and God's laws of eating. And they said, oh, you can't turn down the king's food. He said, you'll get too skinny. He said, well, you just come and look at us after a while. And they came and looked at him and examined him. They're very healthy. And as for those four children, verse 17, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the days, the king said they should bring them in, and he gave them the test of the king's college. He found the king communed with them. He gave the tests. And among them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers, that were in his kingdom. And the king commanded, now we're going to find out in other chapters that Daniel actually reached a very high place in the kingdom of Babylon. There was an office there called the Rab Mag, M-A-G Mag, R-A-B, Rav. And we find that in Daniel 2:48. The king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men. The wise men are called Magi, Mag, Magi. And he named him in chapter 4, verse 9, O Belteshazzar, he called him Master of the Magicians. That's what the King James says. It's really Rav Mag, head of the Magi. You can see this in other translations will give you that he was head over all the wise men. And the wise men were called not magicians, but Magi. I think it's so wonderful when we think about our Lord Jesus Christ coming and the wise men, the Magi, came following a star. Now, one of the things that is so outstanding about the Babylonian kingdom was their study of the heavens. So these Magi who were there when our Lord Jesus Christ came were watching the heavens for a star identifying the King of the Jews. Where had they heard of it? They had heard of it from Daniel. For Daniel knew the prophecy in Numbers 24:17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel. Who has scepters? Kings. There's coming forth a star out of Jacob that will mark a king arising in Israel. He shall crush, he shall tear down, he shall conquer. So those Magi were following a star, I believe put there supernaturally by God, but they had heard about it from this great Daniel. Daniel's actually buried in the land of Iraq. Lived a long time. People followed him, and especially those, they knew the wisdom of Daniel. And they followed that star, and it led them to the babe. Actually, maybe about 2 years old when they got there. But they were looking for him. I believe it goes all the way back to Daniel. The Bible's an amazing book. And we're going to find in Daniel the beginning of the Babylonian systems. And then we're going to see, we saw it in Genesis, and we're going to see how Daniel saw the beast. And that's going to tell us more about the beast in the book of Revelation. We do hope you can come and be with us at our Autumn Assembly of Prayer in Branson, Missouri at the Hilton Convention Center, October 25th through 29, just next week. If you want to know more about it, go to billybrim.org, B-I-L-L-Y-E-B-R-I-M.org, or call us at 1-800-972-3447. We do hope you can come. We're streaming online if you cannot come, but we need your supply of the Spirit. This is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom until tomorrow.